You may like to turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians and chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Again, Father, we look to you with thanksgiving at your word. And it's your time. And God, we're in the middle of it. So we want to be the immediate beneficiaries of where we are, who we are, and where we're going. And our Father, we want to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And now looking at our soldier, as it were, and we took time to look in Ephesians 6 at the armor of God. And the Spirit of God uses the same material that the Roman soldier would have. And so we've looked at it in the light because the armor isn't from Rome and we aren't a Roman soldier. But God said, I want you to see what Rome was doing to protect themselves and how they fought their battles. And I'm going to be your armor. Rome gave them armor. I'm going to give you my armor. It's my armor I'm going to give you for you to wear, to protect you, to bring you in through the valley of deep darkness. I'm going to be your armor to get you there. I will fear no evil, said David, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So as we studied, looked at, and remind ourselves in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the God's word, the gospel, of your salvation, the good news, that you could be wonderfully, wonderfully saved, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And the Spirit of God, think of an envelope and sending something to somebody, and God put you in an envelope, but not an envelope. God puts you in the Spirit of God. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. You're his body. He has taken over from head to toe that body that you live in. So therefore, God, what have you done? You've sealed us. You put us in the middle of your own wonderful self, the Spirit of God. We're hidden in your wonderful presence in Christ. Now, and you're sealed. Verse 14. The earnest, the down payment, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, possession unto the praise of his glory. So God seals you, and he's going to keep you. He's going to deliver you into forever. That's a sure thing. That's what he did. Why is it sure? God put a down payment down, and the down payment is himself. He bought you with a price. We may not understand that cost, but God does. And God saved you, if you're saved, and received him as your Savior in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having done that, and God is going to make you salvation when you believed and down the corridor of time. That's what we want to look at. So in the light of that. Now, over to Ephesians chapter 6. And you remember, as we did, I'm going directly to verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, which we did that. And verse 17, and take it. And you take the wonderful, wonderful God's word, and you take the whole armor of God. And you're going to take that armor. You're going to take the armor, and the armor includes the helmet of salvation. So we're looking at the helmet of salvation. We're looking at the head. Remember the last thing? I get dressed as a Roman soldier, and what's the last thing I put on my do? I'm going to put the helmet on. Once I put the helmet on, I'm ready to engage the enemy. The helmet, I'm ready to go, ready for action. Now, having said that, the helmet of salvation, and think of Ephesians, what you just read, in verse 13 and 14. So the helmet of salvation belongs to salvation. The helmet isn't the helmet like this. It's God's saving grace. Now, why is the helmet called salvation? Because we're going to look at that now in the light of that. So when you get saved, came to know, well, let's do it. Go with me, please, over to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. And picking up, if I may, again, same. Remember we did this last time in Isaiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, as he goes forth to come, he's going to judge. And what does he do? What does it say he does? He found no one that could do the job, so he himself puts the helmet on of salvation and came forth. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, sliding down, if I can, in the light of everything, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet. What are we going to wear? Not a metal or steel or some other thing, but we're going to put the hope of salvation, the hope that belongs, the wonderful expectation, anticipation of being saved. But I thought I was saved. Okay, let's put that together. And remember, keep the context. And why are you so sure of that? Why did you put the helmet on? Because, verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, the tribulation. We're going to go through here's the terrible days ahead. And God given you the wonderful helmet of salvation. And he has not appointed us to go into the thick of the tribulation. He's going to save us out of and from the tribulation. Therefore, from the wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So you get saved, right? Get saved. Let's do, remember it, tie that afresh into your mind and mind. Over to John, the Gospel of John. And in chapter 5, I think. And in chapter 5, picking up, if I may, in God's wonderful, wonderful word. So, what are we going to do? We're looking to God. God's going to do a wonderful thing in our heart. when you believed, when you received Christ as your Savior, if you did. Chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, judgment, but is passed from death unto life. So when you receive the Lord as your Savior, whether understood or not, what did he do? He saved you. He gave you a wonderful one. He's the Savior. And then the word salvation, same, from the same thing. So he's a wonderful Savior, and he saved you for an awesome salvation. That's what he did. He saved you for something, a salvation. Now, the salvation includes, involves at the very start, eternal life, everlasting life, and you went from a state of being under the wrath of God, John 3:36, you went from being under the wrath of God, set free, to be able to what? To proceed and exercise and experience an awesome salvation by a wonderful Savior that died for you, to save you. And you're going to go down the corridor of time. That's what you're going to do. Now, having saved that, a wonderful hope of salvation. So that initial, when I got saved, that's right, and God gave me, he saved me. That's just the beginning. God wants that salvation finished. Therefore, put your helmet on. You need to understand this week, next week, and 10 years from now, and 1,000 years from now, you need to understand that. And the system doesn't want you ever to understand it or know it. So put on that helmet. Put on that salvation in your head and heart. Why? So that you understand. That's why you're going to need the sword. You're going to need the sword. Why? Because that salvation, to be really understood and enjoyed and exercised, which it is to be, it is everything around you is opposed, even your old nature. Now, having said that, in the light of John 5 and 24, go over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, if we can. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, they get the next step. And I'll start at verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. God has a wonderful plan. Don't lose out. It's God's plan and not your plan. And God has to make the plan work. You don't make it work. God makes it work. God's will for your life. Now, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in a day of salvation. There's your little word. A day of salvation have I succored thee, came to help thee, ally and aid, help thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You're going to exercise being saved instantly. And you're going to thank God for saving you if you're saved. And you're going to thank God. And you're going to do it now. It isn't next week. It isn't next year when you understand more. You don't have to understand 2 cents worth. You just need to thank God for being who he is and doing what he's done right now. I say, I can't see it. You don't have to see it. God just did it when you believed. He already gave you his word. He already died on the cross to make it possible. So it isn't even a question. God just wants you to agree with him, honor him. Therefore, in the light of that, the hope of eternal life, to have. God, you have to help us in every way. Therefore, God, you have to protect us. And we read that. If you're here in 2 Corinthians, go over to chapter 1 just for a moment. As we did last time, at least, I think. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, picking up, please, skipping over for time and all of that, go over if I can to verse 7. 1 Corinthians 1, 7. For our hope of eternal salvation, our hope of salvation, our hope, our expectancy, our anticipation of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation, the comfort. Verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. In other words, Paul's telling him and being, it's a wonderful thing you've got. And you have to go through a whole lot. And here's the young Christian, here's the Corinthians, and here's the Apostle Paul, who's been through all the experience, telling them, listen, you're going to have to go through whatever to be an encouragement to the people, to know that you understand and you have a wonderful Savior that saved you from whatever, whoever, whenever, however he saved you. And you're able to say so. Therefore, Paul says, I'm going to give you an illustration. He says, I'm going to tell you, I know it. How well do you know it, Paul? Verse 8 again. And ignorant of this, of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence, the answer of death. What was the solution? Death in ourselves, died to self and alive unto God, that we should not, N-O-T, trust in ourselves, but in God, who raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and they were literally, and doth deliver us, he is delivering us, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. We're delivered. That's what you're going to be. Why? The helmet of salvation. I want you to don't lose what I'm doing for you. Now, having said that in 2 Corinthians, go over with me to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, and for time's sake, okay, verse 3, 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living, lively, bubbling hope, expectancy, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's right. He saved you. He gave you his life. You have a wonderful relationship to God. So, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Well, something's reserved. So we're here, but there's something there. I already got to play my many mansions and everything. It's all there. It's all set for you. Inheritance. How am I going to get there? Put the helmet on. You're going to need the sword, because everything is going to try to take that away from you. So, if I can, in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto what, dear friends? Salvation. That's right. But I thought I was saying, you are saved. But you want, it isn't. Salvation is awesomely a big word. A big word. Like the word God. G-O-D. A little word. But you don't have enough forevers to understand God. You couldn't live in heaven. You'll never, it'll take you, God. And it will take you the rest of forever to just understand God. Wow. Now, therefore, if I can, who kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Uh-huh. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, all kinds of tests, trials, troubles. You got to go through them. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You don't see any. No, you're in the presence of the invisible God, and he has taken your life and bought you with a price and saved you. Therefore, God, you have a wonderful plan. I do. Verse 9, receiving. What are we hanging in there for? What are we going through all the trials? Why do we have to go through everything? Because receiving the end of your salvation, your faith, even the salvation of your soul. But I thought I was saved. You are saved. But that's just the beginning. Salvation is like this. I'm trying to help you understand, said God. I want you to understand what I'm doing, what I did when I saved you. Wouldn't you save me? Save me from myself now. Yes, that's true. And you gave me life here and now. That's true. But that's just coming out of the womb and being here. That's just the beginning. Now, so therefore, picking up if I can, over and I going with me, please, over to Isaiah. Going to go to the Old Testament just to see it. I'm going to look into the millennium, the kingdom, thousand-year reign. I'm interested in that. Over. Isaiah chapter 12. And in Isaiah in chapter 12, picking up, I'll read it. It's only six verses, but you'll catch it. Look at the kingdom. You'll catch it. If you're going to be in the kingdom, what's it like to be in the kingdom? 1,000 years, not 100 years, 1,000 years. In that day, verse 1, 12, 1, Isaiah. And in that day, thou shalt say, Lord, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. You bring comfort, encouragement. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, Jehovah, is my strength. Jah, Jehovah, he's my strength. It's saying God, double, drive it home. God is saying, God, Jehovah, is my, Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. I thought you were saved. You're absolutely, absolutely. You're just beginning to understand. He's my salvation. In the kingdom, they're going to say, he's my salvation. Not only are they going to say that, what are they going to experience? Verse 3, therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells, plural, of salvation. You're going to drink, and you're going to go from year to year, and you're going to enjoy being saved. The hope of salvation. You didn't get that? I'll do it a different way. You know Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God in you is glorious. But he's just the beginning of the expectancy of where he's going to take you to his glory. John 17:24. I want you to see my glory. I'm waiting for you to take you home at the rapture or before. I'm waiting to take you home to see what? The glory that I have given you in myself to make you my children, my body. God is glorious, and all that he's doing in you as a believer in the body of Christ is glorious. And the glory, you haven't even touched it yet in understanding now. So therefore, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, if I can, over to Revelation. Over to Romans. Over to Romans. In Romans, and in chapter 13, chapter 11, 13, 12, 13. Chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, verse 11, in the light of the context. And that knowing the time that it is high time to awake out of sleep. You're a believer. Don't be dragging your shoes and bumbling along. Don't be a bump on the log. Be alive. Enjoy life. And that's what you want to do in your heart. That's what you want to do with each other. You want to enjoy God's saving grace. And you know, when that's there and you do that and you enjoy God's wonderful grace. So everything can be lousy everywhere, but you're with a believer and you are what? You're going to enjoy being saved. Actually, think about it, believe, rest in it. Isn't it wonderful God has saved us? Is saving us. And the conversation between us is a delight. Everything's going down the tubes around us. But you know what? It's all right. We aren't going to fix that. We're just enjoying what it means to be saved with each other. That's how you're going to keep yourself a healthy assembly. You'll want to enjoy being saved with each other. Actually, don't just say, well, we're going to do this. No, enjoy being saved. Saved. I'm going to go to heaven. Isn't that enough? No, you aren't enjoying. God's trying to tell you, put your helmet on. Don't you understand what it means to be saved? Now, if I can, here's Romans chapter 13. 11 verse 13, and your salvation is nearer than when we believed. For the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light so that we can see. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in the night, not in rioting and drunkenness, but in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but in contrast, don't do all that stuff, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh, your old nature, to complain and wonder and wander and do all the different things to fulfill the lust thereof. You want to look to God in his wonderful, wonderful way to save you in his wonderful, wonderful way. Now, over to Titus. And, as you would guess, I am Titus. And, picking up, please, chapter 2, if I can. I'm doing just tying step by little things to just lock it in. You can't turn the pages of God's Word without locking it in. God keeps saying everything that he wants to say in 18 different ways to say it to us so that somehow we understand. Titus chapter 2, picking up in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God, how are we going to do that? Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, the salvation, what do we say in Thessalonians? The helmet, the hope's helmet, the hope of salvation. Helmet, the hope of salvation, the helmet of salvation. I want you to have the wonderful between Titus and between Thessalonians and Ephesians, the hope of salvation. I want you to have that. So therefore, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the word Savior, the word salvation, same in the category, and the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for it. That's what we're waiting for. What are you waiting for? I want to finish the job. I'm God. I'm saved. Christ saved me, is saving me. Christ is coming to take me, to be with him, to have an inheritance, to have a wonderful salvation. What does salvation include? It includes forever with the outworking. You're going to be mine forever. You're going to enjoy God forever. That's what you're going to do. You're saved. You don't enjoy God for 2 weeks and it's done. You enjoy God forever. You're his child. You're his son. He's going to be you in you and with you and for you in every way possible. So therefore, God, you're going to go and help us to learn and grow and be everything. That's right. Over to Revelation and chapter 3. As you come to the end of the churches, Revelation 2 and 3, and you go into the tribulation, chapter 4 eventually, and Revelation chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 21. 3 and 21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, you know that, and you open the door of your heart, verse 20, and you receive him as your Savior. And therefore, verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. That's part of being, that's where I'm going to take you. I saved you here. I'm going to be in you here to take you there. So what? Ephesians, you know, you don't have to turn there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ right now. He took care of you. He died. He took you to the cross, took you to the grave, took you and rose again and has you seated with him. You're already seated. That's where you're going. That's the hope of salvation. That's part of the plan. It isn't just to be able to say you're a Christian. You know, that doesn't mean much today. So, here we are looking at God. You're going to do what you do in a most wonderful way. You're going to be like him. So, therefore, over to Revelation chapter 1 and in verse chapter 1 and picking up, if I can, in verse 6. Revelation 1 and verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. What do you mean? Kings and priests. Priests, to be able to understand, a priest, to be able to understand in your heart that you need to be saved and understand in your heart you are saved. Yeah, that's personal. Priest representing the sinner, before God, a holy God, and taking a holy God. That's what Christ did. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he brings what? He brings God to us, and he brings us to God. He brings us in his wonderful saving work to God, and he brings a holy God who's satisfied with his death. He brings us together. He brings us together. Atonement. Wow. Now, so kings and priests. Kings and priests. And that's awesome. Awesome, and to say the least. So in the process now, you're going to do all of this. And you're going to bring us to a new heaven or a new earth. That's right. That's right. What's it going to do? New heaven, new earth. And that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Old things have passed away. Everything becomes new. I'm going to get rid of all of the stars and everything. I'm going to make it all gone. Almost start again. That's just the beginning. And you're going to be what? Saved to the uttermost. You're going to be saved. Salvation. What do you think I did to give you 10 years of being a Christian and being a nice guy? No. I did something for me, said God. It's my glory and my honor that I'm doing. And I want you to be able to understand what I did when I died. I died to give you the right and privilege of enjoying my wonderful person, said God, in a safe, saving way. Put on the helmet so you don't lose it. Because everyone's going to batter you, get you. So your head's all, isn't that what happens to us? We worry, we want, we doubt, we get discouraged, we get depressed, we get disappointed, we don't wonder, because we're getting our head all bashed. Don't bash my head. You got the idea? Put the helmet on. I don't have a helmet. That's why you're going to get. I heard in the news today, someone called me about work, about my health, about something else, and we're all over the place. Wear the helmet, because nothing is going to stop what I have done in saving you all the way into forever. And our time is gone. Closing. You getting a little bit? I meant to get to the sword. I wanted to get, but I forgot to bring, I have a big sword. But it says, Word of God. Big sword. I was going to bring it out. And then this fellow couldn't even handle the sword. He's too small. You get the idea. So, but it's hard to do it. Don't you need some pieces? You need to understand something. How can you ever enjoy anything if you don't understand it? You know? You have to enjoy it. You have to say, boy. And you get excited. And George and I get excited. You see? And we're happy. I don't care what you do. Do whatever you want. Be whatever you want. You're missing out on being saved. The great self. And therefore, you can't do that, but if you go, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. The warning, right at the beginning. Remember, we did the book of Hebrews. Right at the beginning, it says, be careful you don't neglect so great a salvation that God has given to you. Beware. You could miss the whole thing and never enjoy here and now. And you'll be saved as by fire. And then you find out, wouldn't it have been nice to know it now? Wouldn't it have been nice to enjoy it now? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, so therefore, and Corinthians, you got to stop somewhere. Over to 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Thank you for your patience and everything. 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15. Can you remember it? But I want to tie it together, because that's the end. What are you going to do, God? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, picking up, if I may, verse 26, the last enemy, 15:26, 1 Corinthians. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are under his feet, under him, it is manifest, clear, public, plain, that he, Christ himself, isn't under God's feet. Christ is God, and is exempted, did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son himself be subjected, submitted unto him. In other words, we shared it the last time. I say it again because it isn't, you don't think about it much. When God is all done, and God is all done in the man Christ Jesus, in saving and judging, even at the great white throne, when he's all done, he's going to turn around in his humanity, his deity is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But in his humanity, he's going to turn around and say, Father, let's say that, Father, I've finished it. Everything is in order. Everything is what it's supposed to be. It's in order. And thus, in verse 25, and put all things under him, the reason that God may be all in all. That God, the only God and only Savior, may truly be God and the only Savior. Like we shared in Sunday school with grace, God said, listen, it's all of me. It isn't of you. And you have to, we can't do all that. I got to quit. I hope we got, what can I tell you? Okay. And so trusting God to help us in every way in all that lies ahead. And he is. And back to Buddha said, could have said, and the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make sure that happens. All that he has in mind, that I just read a little bit of, all of this has to happen. Not because of you or me, but because of him. He wields the sword. That's the word of God. And no one anywhere is going to can alter what God has said. God said it, you can burn the Bible and rip it up and do whatever you want. You can't change what God has said and what God is going to do. And that has to be finished. And that's where we're going. Your salvation, your hope of salvation, you're going there. And you're here, that's right. And in the process, tomorrow you're still going there. And next month you're still going there. And 10 years from now you're still going there. That's where you're going. Are you joining the church? No, I don't. Well, I go to church every week and I do everything. Good, good, good. Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, we like the music. We have all kinds of stuff going on. All kinds of things. Yay, you know. Yeah, we got it. How about knowing God and having reality in your little old life and truly, truly knowing and showing and believing? Isn't that something else? And there is no anything that can compete. God said, my joy I give unto you. And there's no one, nothing, anywhere on planet Earth, anything you could dream or wish for that can replace that. And the joy of God, and you're enjoying what God is going to do can never touch any of the stupid. You say, well, that's my favorite food, and you like this and do that. That's all good. That's here. But that can't touch being saved. It can't touch it. Can't touch it. No. Anyway, I got to quit. Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and here we are just going along. So thank you very much for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your word. Spirit of God, thanks for everything as you outwork it all. In Christ's name, amen.